Well, let's open our Bibles together to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verse 28 and verse 29. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Amen. So we are going through the London Baptist Confession, the Confession of 1689, and we have done a brief overview of every chapter. Today we arrive at chapter 17, which is the subject of the perseverance, or it's entitled Of Perseverance. Some call it Perseverance of the Saints. Well, some people say, what's the need for a man-made confession? What is the point? But when we look at the confession, we come to the quick understanding that it is based solely upon Scripture. And much of the portions are actually just Scripture written down. But this, although it's man-made, although it's not inspired, it helps us to greatly get a grasp of the doctrines, to have an overview of the truth in the Word of God. And it helps us to practically, with practical application. So it is valid, and it is a great teaching aid. Now, what does perseverance mean? Does it just mean continue, to carry on? It has a deeper meaning. Perseverance means to continue in the face of adversity. It's very easy to just continue when all's going well, when everything's just as we like it, when there's no trouble. We can press on faithfully, but perseverance is to press on even in the midst of trouble. And it's about pressing on faithfully when there are trials, when there are hardships, when there is adversity. And we all face, as Christians, we all face difficulties. We all face the world, the flesh, the devil. And these are real oppositions in the Christian life. But we are taught by Scripture to press on. We must persevere in the face of opposition. And this chapter that we're looking at, the perseverance of the saints, is about pressing on in difficult times. Now, perseverance of the saints, let me just bring some clarification. By a saint, we don't mean a perfect believer. We don't mean, as the Catholics would say, as somebody that has done something extraordinary or holy or something. We simply mean a genuinely saved person, someone who is the Lord's, someone who is walking with the Lord, someone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the Bible talks about four different kinds of people, or really not different kinds of people. It's in the parable, it's the four different kinds of soil. And we'll just look at two of them very briefly: stony ground soil and thorny ground soil. Those are the two kinds. And some people, they're very glad to hear the gospel. They give an appearance that they have really embraced the gospel, that they are now continuing in the Lord. However, the moment trouble comes, persecution comes, adversity arises. Why does it arise? For the word's sake. And immediately they stumble and they fall away. That's not perseverance. And there's no deep, there's no lasting work. Why? Because they have no root. This is what the Scripture teaches. In other words, there's no real work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They haven't really been converted. They're not really Christians. They're not really born again. And then the ones among thorns, when temptations come, the pleasures of the world come and entice people, and they quickly go back to the world. So what is the difference between a true Christian and one of these shallow ground Christians, one of these stony ground Christians, or one of these thorny ground Christians? The true difference is that a true believer perseveres when it is difficult. He perseveres in following the Lord, even when there's hard times. He's obedient to Christ all the days of his life, or she is obedient to Christ all the days of his life. When others, they only persevere for a short time and they go back to the world. But we learn something. The true Christian may wander briefly into the world, but when he does, he feels uncomfortable. He feels unsettled, and he eventually goes back to Christ. But the false professor, or the one who claims to be a Christian and is not, he may walk in righteousness for a short time, but he has no real joy walking in that righteousness because it's not his true nature. And very quickly, he goes back to the ways of the world, to the pleasures of the world, to his old sinful life, because his nature is of that kind. Let me give you a little illustration that will help us to grasp this and understand it. Just as a flying fish, have you seen those flying fish? They can leap out of the ocean and they can fly for a long distance out of their natural habitat. Out of water, they soar through the air, but they can't live in the air. They return to the water after a short while. And then think of the seagull. A seagull flies in the air above the ocean, but it can dive down, hit the water, and go underneath the water and catch a fish and then come back out again. And so it is with a Christian. A true Christian will stay in his true environment. He cannot live in the ways of the world. He doesn't find any pleasure in living in the ways of the world. He wants to live in his environment that he was created to live in holiness, righteousness, and in truth. He has no pleasure to live in the wrong habitat. So, although we may be tempted and distracted for a time, our hearts, or our Lord, always draws us back to Christ, because that's our true dwelling place. The world may allure us, but the world never satisfies the soul that is born of God. In other words, has heard the word of God, not just with the ear, but in the heart. That soul is born again, and they are the Lord's. And when they may stray, but they will always return to where they truly belong. They have eternal life. They are being transformed day by day, but they are kept. Let's look at John 3:36. And this helps us to understand this. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Now, if it's everlasting, can we lose everlasting life? No, it's forever and ever. Also, we have heard God's word. And the scripture says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. So, have we believed God's word? Have we come to him? If we have, we don't have life today and tomorrow lose it. It's everlasting life. And we shall not come into the judgment, but we have passed from death to life. John 5:34. Passed from death to life. We've been saved by yielding to God and coming to God and praying to God. And it resulted in us repenting of our sins. And this is the same way we continue in the Christian life. Perseverance, dedication, and devotion to the truth and to all of his ways. Do you know that if a believer was left to make it to heaven on his own legs, none of us would get there. Those who are truly saved will be kept by God. So this is the wonderful doctrine of perseverance. He who saves us also keeps us. And it's not based upon human will, but upon God's sovereign grace. The immutability means that God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say, today you are saved, tomorrow I disown you. No, not at all. Believers persevere, or we finish the race, because God has promised to keep us. His covenant is sure. His word never fails. And we know the wonderful verse in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they will not depart from me. He's made an everlasting covenant with us. He's put his word in our heart that we may not depart from him. His fear in our hearts, that holy respect for him, that awe that we have for him, that we may not depart. His spirit in our hearts creates new affections, holy affections. So that's one real good reason why we will persevere. And then another reason, number two, Christ intercedes for us. His priestly prayers secure and ongoing. They secure blessing for us. He prays for us. Oh, and number three, the Spirit of God dwells within us, enabling us to grow in holiness and to resist sin. And number four, they are united to Christ. We are united to Christ. Nothing can separate us from his love. We know the scripture in Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? No. None of this shall separate us from the love of God. His love never changes. And according to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God does not change, and therefore his people are not consumed. So we see the source and the foundation of perseverance proceeds not, comes not from our own ability, but from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. He is faithful, and he will bring us to the end. When we think about these scriptures, the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, when we have these thoughts in the Lord, confidence arises in our God. He will preserve us and keep us. 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We're kept by the power of God. We don't keep ourselves. We are kept by the power of God. It is the grace of God that keeps us. We know Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Although it's all by grace, the evidence that grace is working in our hearts is that we persevere. Christians do not grow in perseverance by doing nothing. We are not like passengers that sit on a matatu coming from Nairobi and do nothing until we arrive. We are on a journey. We have a race to run. We have battles to fight. We have prayers to pray. And we have to actively put into practice the means of God, the means that God has given us. We have to pray. We have to read the scriptures. We have a race to run, and that requires that we throw off every weight and we run with perseverance. So every Christian is reminded to fight the good fight of faith. And Jesus said, watch and pray. So yes, there's an active part. We do. God does it. He keeps us. But we also have a part in keeping ourselves, in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So Paul said, unless you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. And the ship represents the use of God's appointed means. Now, those appointed means are many. I'll just cover three: prayer, scripture, and fellowship, or four, worship. These are not optional. The scripture doesn't say if you want to pray, it says when you pray. They're not optional. They're the very tools that God uses to sustain us and maintain grace in us. Just as milk nourishes a child, a mother will never take a young baby and deny it milk. No, the mother makes sure that baby drinks, that it may be nourished and strengthened. And the milk of God's word nourishes us and strengthens us and preserves us to eternity. They are God's given tools to preserve us, but we have to partake of them. Yes, the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit keeps us burning brightly, keeps grace alive. The Spirit of God excites us and strengthens us and increases grace and makes us grow from faith to faith. Grace works in our hearts, and grace is carried to perfection by Christ's intercession. Christ Jesus is ever praying, ever living, to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. And what is he praying? Father, keep those you have given me. Keep them like you keep the stars in orbit. Keep them that they may not be lost. So this is the prayer that our Lord Jesus prayed in John 17. And it's the prayer that he prayed for Peter. He said to Peter, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fails not. And that's really the prayer that he prays for us as well. He prays for us that we would be kept, that our faith would not fail. With such a one as this, with such an intercessor, with the Lord himself praying for us, how can we think that we will perish? How can we think that we will fail? How can children who have such prayers as this perish? I read this quote and it really blessed me. For we are held tightly by the arms of God. The two arms of God, held tightly by the arms of God, the arms of love and the arms of mercy, and I shall not fall away. God won't abandon us. A mother will never drop her child. A mother holds on to her child, and God holds on to us. I think of one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. God cannot forget us. His arms of mercy and kindness hold us at all times. Perseverance being established now, we see that it's God. We see we have a part. It is God who nourishes us. He nourishes us in faith. He nourishes us in repenting, convicting us of what we do wrong. He fills our hearts with love. He fills our hearts with joy and hope. With all these graces, it's certainly never because of anything that we have done. It is and originates from God only. These are the grounds for perseverance, the sovereign grace of God. It happens because God has chosen his people in Christ to redeem them by his blood, and he has sealed them with his Spirit. The foundation of perseverance is the unchanging purpose of God, the perfect work of Christ, and the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we as Christians, we can be confident of this. We can have confidence that he who started a good work in us will bring it to completion. We are not relying on our weak legs to carry us to heaven, but we are relying upon his great strength, that which he has done for us, that which he purchased on the cross for us. His grace strengthens us. All other things are fading away. Health fades away. Riches fade away. All that remains is his seed that is in us, and his seed shall remain. His grace has made us his sheep. We are his children. His sheep know his voice. His sheep hear his voice. His sheep follow him. Oh, you see, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And grace makes us hear the words of grace. Grace opens our ears to hear the words of truth. And no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult things are, no matter what opposition we have, grace carries us through. Grace puts a song in our hearts, even in the night hour when the unsaved cannot sleep, when they're full of anxiety and fear. The one who has grace in their heart, they have peace. They sleep so well. They have joy. They are not full of fear. We have a song in our hearts. But if the Lord were to withdraw his Spirit, we'd have no truth in our heart. We'd have no hope. We wouldn't know what would happen to us. We are made to persevere because God is faithful, because he keeps his eye upon us. We are kept by his power, even in this fallen world, even when we still have some of our old nature within us. Grace keeps us. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. We live in a lion's den, actually. So much evil around us. Grace kept Daniel from the hungry lions, and grace will keep us from the hungry lions, from the wicked people around us that would seek to see us destroyed. We rejoice because our sins are forgiven. And therefore, as a response to the result of grace in our life, we flee from anything that's wicked. Yes, we know that God will keep us, He will help us through, but because He has saved us, we are grateful. We don't want to partake of anything that will displease Him. We want to walk in holiness. We want to pursue righteousness. We want to pursue godliness, faith, and love, and patience, and gentleness. This is the Spirit of God in us, making us. So these things, the fact that God keeps us, doesn't excuse us from living righteously. No, it gives us, because of gratefulness for His tremendous faithfulness, it makes us want to live more righteously. So the doctrine of perseverance is a deep, deep comfort to every believer. It's a healing balm to the soul. It's a divine encouragement that lifts the weary heart. Some Christians, they struggle with assurance of salvation. They wonder, will I make it to heaven? Yes or no? I feel weak. I feel I may fall away. I feel I could backslide and lose my salvation. Well, if we were to get to heaven on our own legs, we could worry, but we get to heaven because of what He has done for us. Perseverance is not based upon our strength. It's the fruit of the sanctifying work of Christ in our lives. We are truly Christ's. We are forever Christ's because He has paid the price and said we are eternally His. Yes, we may stumble. We may lose sight of grace for a time, but we will never fall out of grace. God's saving work is secure. It is complete. A believer may lose some measure of spiritual strength, but he may never lose their standing before God. Why? Because God keeps His own. His grace is not temporary. His promises are not fragile. When He says He will save, He will save, and His love does not fade. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, and His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. The seed of God remains in us. The anointing abides. What a comfort it is to us that this seed will remain, that His anointing abides, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fear not, grace holds us fast. Grace may be shaken. We may wrestle with doubts and fears in seasons of weakness. Two Bible examples are David, who fell into terrible sin. It cost him many tears. He lay on his couch at night, crying tears, wetting his couch. Oh, backsliding has a terrible cost. It's a terrible price. Peter denied the Lord. He denied him not once, but three times. But both David and Peter sought the Lord in repentance, and they were restored. True grace, God's saving work in the heart, can never be uprooted. It's planted by God Himself. He never abandons what He begins. Being confident of this very thing, I'm reading Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So, believer, don't fear. Don't fear falling away. If you are truly Christ's, you will be healed by his power. You're not your own. You may stumble, but you will not be lost. You will not be lost forever. Perseverance is not something that we manufacture. It's the result of God's faithful work in us. Once united in Christ, you are forever his. And it's not paint that he paints us with on the outside. Or it's not a garment that he gives us to wear that can fall off, or paint that can fade. It's a deep work in our hearts. It's a transformation. It's a new nature. We are made new in Christ. And because we have a new nature, we persevere. And if we are going to persevere, we must have a root of sincerity. Perseverance grows on the root of sincerity. And we have to let integrity and uprightness preserve us. If we want to be preserved, we need humility. For God gives grace to the humble. Do you want grace? Be humble. Be rooted in humility. And just as a tree stands firm when its roots go deep into the soil, so a believer, the soul, becomes steady and secure when it's grounded in humility. So when we are grounded in humility, the deeper our humility before God, the stronger our spiritual footing. A humble heart is much less likely to fall than a proud heart, because it depends not on self, but it depends upon God. And when we depend upon God, we shall not fail. Now, lastly, in closing, if we're going to persevere, one help is to consider those that have run the race before us. Isn't it inspiring to hear of those who have run the race, who have remained steadfast in the faith? And we look to faithful examples of those that have gone before us. Think of the countless that are now rejoicing in heaven, saints and martyrs who stood firm in faith, even unto death. Consider, for example, the unwavering commitment of the Apostle Paul, who said, "I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." These people ran before us. Oh, think of all those men and women who held fast to the truth in the face of fierce opposition. They were like stars shining in the darkness, pillars in the house of the Lord. Their lives remind us that perseverance is possible, even in the hardest times. It's sad today in the modern church. We don't see so many pillars anymore. Instead, we see caterpillars. The moment some difficulty comes, they crawl off to where it's easier. No. And what is a caterpillar? A caterpillar is a baby insect. It will grow into what it really is. I'm not a caterpillar. I'm a pillar in the house of the Lord. That's what we want to be, pillars in the house of the Lord. And we want our lives to be a testimony and a reminder to others of a life that is well run. Now, Hebrews, as I begin to draw to a close, Hebrews 12, 1. It's a call to action, a call to action. "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We have a race to run, and we all know that the crown is not given at the start of the race. They don't crown you the winner and give you the gold medal at the start. No, those that finish the race get a prize, and we must run to finish the race. We must run to the finish line, if we run faithfully and finish, we shall receive the crown of grace. Hold fast, believer. Oh, friend, hold fast. Trust in the Lord. You have a sure and an unshakable anchor for your soul, one that reaches into the very presence of God. The storms of life may rage, the winds may blow, and if that anchor was to fail, you would surely be lost. Look around and see the rocks. You would be ruined upon those rocks of unbelief. Many lie there. Look at the deep waters. Many are buried in those deep waters. But our anchor, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, fails not. We shall not fail. We shall finish the race. Oh, let us throw off the weights that so easily beset us and slow us down. We thank God that he never fails. Our anchor will never break. There is no other anchor, no other salvation. If the Lord Jesus Christ failed, there would be no hope. But he is strong, he is faithful, he is eternal, and with confidence, I can say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean upon Jesus' name. We want to finish the race. That's the key. Wholly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot close before I make an appeal. I'm asking, are you leaning and trusting upon the Lord Jesus? Have you got assurance in your heart that you are his and he is yours? Have you, from the depths of your heart, called upon his name for salvation? Have you come to him? May God grace you today and make you willing to come in prayer to him to become a child of the Most High God. May you bow your hearts and your knees to him this day. Amen and amen.